Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project, and I would like to say thank you to all of you all that are continued listeners with your commitment to our show. We thank you for showing up every week. We want to give a tribute out and a holler out to Bobby Womack. He passed away, and we want to sing, play a song in tribute to him. So here we go. Hope you like the song.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer that if you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toil and strife. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees, that never thought you were trying to get close to me. Yeah. Think it over. Think it over, girl. And if I can weep for your love, I don't mind.
That's the way I feel about you.
Ooh.
That's the way I feel about you.
I know you've been hurt, and so have many others too. But that's the sacrifice that life put you through, put you through, put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't know, but God might have sent me here. Yeah. Think it over. Think it over. You better think it over.
That's the way I feel about you.
All right, that's one of my favorite songs. We're going to get my co-host on the line. Brother Donia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, Donia.
Hey, how you like that song? That's one of my favorite songs.
That was one of my favorite songs. I don't know what you where you at. That's a good song. That's a beautiful song. That's one of my favorites. Who is that, Joe Turner?
No, that's Bobby Womack. You know, he passed away last week.
Yeah.
Yep, Bobby Womack.
Yeah.
Passed away last week.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
What you know, brother Donnie? Talk to me.
Huh?
What'd
you say?
What you know good? What's going on in the world today?
Oh, well, from what I understand is that they really focused on those so-called Jews getting out of Jerusalem, you understand? That's one of the things that's happening, man. But the world is in a turmoil today, man. They grasping at straws, trying to keep it alive, but it ain't gonna work. You know, the Almighty is puts things in place. These guys was only supposed to be in power for a little while. You understand? And it's been 400 years, but it's to the Almighty it was a little while. You understand? He just wanted them to chastise us. But they did the wrong thing when they put their hands on us. You know, in Job, it talks about how the Almighty allowed them to do whatever they wanted to Job, but long as they didn't put their hands on him. And so they went too far. These people that's kept us captive, they went too far. They chastised us. We was under this chattel slavery. They chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered us. So, you know, they're going to have to go. And this place right here, the United States, is on its way out. Germany and the Chinese have elected to not to use the American currency anymore. Kissinger had years ago had set up you couldn't buy oil unless you used American currency. So if they stop using American currency, this place is gonna fall down real fast, and it's on its way out.
That's scary. Now
that will sink
the dollar really, really, really fast.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. You understand? And if they do that, then what's going to happen is other nations are going to follow suit. Because, see, what they're doing now, Russia is trading oil with other places now. You understand? And so, it's going to be a real mess here, boy. Ooh, ooh. You understand? So we need to be finding out what we need to do. Ooh. We need to come together, you understand, like this think tank that you want that you mentioned. You understand? We need to come and find out how we can sustain our living when all of this stuff starts. You understand? We need to have a contingency plan.
I agree 100%. I think that the think tank is important. Members of a Better World, the organization over there is important. Because what we're establishing in Israel is a nonprofit organization where the people can go over in Israel and they can work and they can sustain their life and they can feed their children. And I want to repeat to someone, this is not the Exodus. We are not talking about the Exodus. We are talking about going to Israel, being able to survive on the economy and live in our own land under another government for right now, but being able to go over. And I think that what we're doing with Members of a Better World is an excellent opportunity. It's a positive opportunity, and we support it 100%, and we're ready to move forward because the economy here, if when that dollar drops and they stop using it as the world currency, it's over.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, and you know, like you said, if we got to go over there and establish ourselves in the land. You know, that's one of the things that Ben Amin had that was positive, that I see that was a positive move, is that before 1968, there was no blacks over there trying to establish us as Hebrew Israelites. Now we're established as Hebrew. Those people in that region over there know about the Hebrew Israelites. You understand? So all we got to go do now is go over there and set ourselves up with a government structure. You understand? You know, at this particular point, and it's surprising to me, you understand, that I'm coming around to the fact that we're going to have to go to work for them folks. You understand? I mean, but it's not going to be but for so long, because have a time period to be in existence. And if we go over there and set up a government structure through the nonprofit, you understand, we will be establishing ourselves right there. So the this next wave that's going to come over there, they can assure themselves a place in the land, you know. So that's the major thing here.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. So that is one of the main things that we have to focus on, is to make sure that information gets to the people, and the people are made aware, you know, of what's going on and where we need to go. So, I mean, you know, it's all positive. We're all doing things positive, and we want to move in a positive direction. So here we go, you know, and I think that it's a good time. It's a scary time, but it's time to move forward. What'd you say?
I'm sure you understand. See, this is the Almighty's plan. See, his plan was that we would be the light unto the other nations. And how we can be the light unto the other nations is how we treat one another. You understand? And in turn, the Almighty will grant us favor. And when he grants us favor, you understand, if we read in Zephaniah how the other nations are supposed to give us praise and praise and glory, praise and honor, you understand, as an established nation. Now, all the things that's happening now is by the hand of the Creator. You understand? It ain't, you know, we couldn't even dream up what the Almighty got in store for us. You understand? We got to take a hard look at what's going on and how he's manipulating and orchestrating everything that we do. You understand? These things are not happening just by chance.
That is true. So what would you say to the people today if you had to give them some advice?
Here's what I would tell them. Don't give up, give out. You understand?
Right.
That means to me is that just because we're in a dismal situation right there, there's a plan that the Almighty has set aside for his people. And we cannot even deny the fact that we came over here slaves. Even though some of us are born into this slavery and they don't recognize, in order for them to be here, their forefathers came over here as slaves. You understand? So now is the opportunity for us to try to start banding ourselves together, you understand, and get with the peoples that that are like-minded. You understand? Right now, what I'm trying to do here now is I'm trying to set myself up, put back me some money so that I can get out of here. But I can't get out of here without a plan. You understand? I'm trying to figure out if I can get with another couple of people and we figure out what we can produce that's going to sustain us while we're there. Because this place is getting ready to go down. This brother on Power Talk yesterday, you understand, he said that, I can't remember 1 minute to the next, you understand, he said that we need to, you know, when we start moving ourselves in that direction, you understand what I'm saying, certain things is going to open up, fields and stuff is going to open up for us to sustain ourselves, you understand, and I'll think about what he said as the conversation goes. But, you know, it's really, really a deep thing. There are a lot more and more people, more and more Israelites are coming to coming around to the fact that we got to get out of here. You understand? If we stay here, we're going to we contribute to our own demise, because these people are going down.
Yes, they are. I mean, the whole, well, you know what? It's not so much that, it's just the word is going to manifest itself, and there's an expected end for every nation. There's an expected result for every nation, and every nation has an appointment that, that the Most High has spoken out of his own word. So
that
it's not anything that one man can do, or one body can do, or one government do against the other. It is the word manifesting itself to the point where everybody, no one can help it. So these are the things that we deal with today, and the fact that they're talking about not accepting the dollar as the world currency is opening up the up the door for this new world, one world government, and this new world order, and this one world currency. All of this stuff is planned out by the word, is spoken of by the word. And the biggest thing that I would say to the Hebrews, because, you know, I've been dealing on this radio show for a while, had an opportunity to meet a few people around the country. Some people were very supportive, and we appreciate everything, especially with Washington, D.C., and all of the things that they did to come together with us in Washington, D.C. Much love, much appreciation. But, you know, it comes a point when we have to put aside our differences and start working together. There can't be a little sec over here and a little sec over here and a little sec over here and a little sec over here. We all have to start rallying our people together to come together. And that's one of the reasons why we have been so divided all these years, is because we don't know how to, one, forgive, and, two, how to come together. So, you know, that's what I would say to everyone. You know, to start learning how to forgive one another and come together, and let's begin to work together. Because anything you do outside of the will of the Most High, anything you do to another individual because you don't understand what the Most High is doing, anything that you do, it will not come to nothing. It will not manifest into anything, because it's only what he ordains that is going to make it, that's going to actually get done what he ordained it to do. So we all have to actually see that and be willing to come together.
Well, you know, Sister Yaina, these things had to happen, because the Almighty said in the beginning of the scriptures, he said that he was going to have the whole earth give him glory. All the nations will give him the glory. And the only way possible is that he had to take, and we stepped in it when our forefathers did that atrocity, those atrocities, and started worshiping other deities. You understand? We just opened up the door for the Almighty to put in practice his plan. You understand? He said, if you don't want to do it my way, then I'm going to put you in the hands of some people where you're going to do it their way. You understand? So we had to go through what we got to go. We had to go through, and that in turn, man, made us, you understand, a little fretful against one another. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you understand, we got to put aside our differences. You understand? And our differences is small compared to what's going to be done. You understand? Those little things that we hold everybody, you know, all different sects of our of this captivity and against one another. You understand? That's a small thing, absolutely small. You understand? And we can't look at it as though, well, you don't do it my way, I ain't gonna do nothing. That's the attitude that most of us have taken. A young lady called up there on the radio station, and she said that she put a lot of money into the growth of her camp, the camp that she was involved with, the congregation. You understand? And she's burnt out. You can't get burnt out. We ain't home yet. We don't run our own government. You understand? We have to continuously, when you find something and somebody that's doing something towards towards building up the house of the house of Israel, you understand? Then you got to put put forth what you can put forth. I understand. You understand? Because all of us have put money into certain things and tried to help it go along, you understand? And it didn't pan out. We had some shifty brothers. It had to go that path. We are at a stage now that the Almighty is hastening the time. Them are European Jews, that's so-called Jews, in the land. They think that they got 7 years. That's what they said. They gonna the Vatican, the Pope. You understand what I'm saying? He's moving over to Jerusalem. He's gonna have a place in Jerusalem, outside, right southeast side of the tabernacle. You understand? That's not gonna happen. We talking about the Almighty, and He had already ordained and put things. He prophesied that may occur. You understand? But it's gonna be for naught, nothing. You understand? And we got to understand that this is a fantasy world we living in. You understand? This stuff is not real. You know what's real? Us cultivating the land and eating off the land and praising the Almighty on them holy days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have quite a few people on the line. We want to thank you for responding to our invitation to come to the show and to listen in on the show. I think one of the biggest issues that we have to address today, and we want to address, so we have quite a few things we want to talk about today, but one of the issues that I'd like to address is if you're a Hebrew Israelite, if you're new coming into this thing, if this is a new experience for you, I want to caution you to be very, very careful with whose table you eat from, because there are so many different teachings, different sects, different beliefs, different interpretations on the word and the direction that we're going in. And I caution you to be very careful. If you feel like that is not the place that you want to be, you're more than welcome to leave at any time. You know, some people have just went home and said, that's it. I'm not dealing with it anymore, just like we did with church. You know, we have positions at the Nation of Yehuda. You know, we come together on the holy days. We do all those things. And we allow people to be free thinking and allow people to be free believing. So, you know, you have to be very careful with your approach with people. And the one thing that I'm noticing is that we don't have compassion. You know, we feel like that because we say it, that you're going to change another person's mind or another person's belief. That is not the case. I've heard people cussing at each other on their blog talk shows, on their conference calls, and all this stuff. And it leads to question your integrity, because at some point you're not going to be heard. And it's like, you know, we have to understand that our approach and the way we approach the people determines whether the people are going to be receptive to what you have to say. And, you know, we've spent a lot of years formulating and putting together the Nation of Yehuda. You know, we have joined ranks with Members of a Better World, Prince Asiel, all of those guys that are working toward fixing the problem in Israel. We're trying to get the word out to the people here in America, and we need everyone's help. We have Messianics, non-Messianics, Torah only. We're rolling up our sleeves, working side by side with each other, making sure that we carry each other and do what we need to do. So I just want to let everyone know, you know, that in response to, you know, the things that we hear and the things that we see on YouTube, you're fighting against each other, you're arguing with each other, and all of the things that we're doing has to come together with unity as being the foundation of what we're doing, because it questions our integrity, it questions our reputation. And if the Most High knew we were hard-headed, if He knew we was hard-headed and He called us a stiff-necked people, there's no cuss word in the world you're going to say that would change that to an individual. So, you know, love is what lifts, love is what draws. You know, compassion is where understanding comes from. And I have a caller here, area code 312. One moment, I'm going to let you on the air. Brother Donnie, do you have any response?
I think that you said it correctly. One thing that we have to understand is that many are called, but few are chosen. I want to be mm-hmm. one of the ones that are chosen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me get this caller on the air. Area code 312, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, in regards to, like, the guy was talking about the Pope and everything earlier, like, moving to or trying to move to Jerusalem or whatnot, but just speaking from, a prophetic standpoint, I think it should really incite excitement more than anything else when you hear things like that, even though I agree with him, like, it's not something that will probably ever happen, but if you look at who the beast is, like, who the beast power is and things like that, you know, from a prophetic standpoint, it's actually the beast, and it's actually the orchestrators of that very system that are responsible for bringing it down in the end. You know, so if we're looking at, you know, everything that that Rome and that the Vatican has done, especially against the holy people, you know, and then the Most High says that it's going to be an advocate of that very system who turns on that system and is for the most part responsible for bringing that system down. So when I look at some of the current leadership, and we're talking about this is all in reference to the people returning to the land, when you look at the current leadership, that's probably the largest hindrance. What that institution created is probably the largest hindrance to what our people are trying to accomplish, because they literally replaced us. They took our way of governing. They took our idea of the Mashiach and things like that. And they created a duplicate, a carbon copy, and it's that system that has been standing in the way of our Mashiach being able to return and for the throne of David to be reestablished and our people to return home and everything. So when I see a leader of that system who on the outskirts appears to not really be in favor of the system itself. So we're talking about moving to Jerusalem, and if that is the desire of the papacy, then that's a sour look on Rome. And I think that's something that also falls in line with, as you said earlier, the word of the Most High manifesting itself, and things that we should begin, omens, if I can use that word, things that we should begin to get excited about, because everything is working according to the good of those who are the call. So things like this, ultimately that system has to be removed, and from what we see, it appears that that's exactly what's happened. And so while we're preparing ourselves here to, as my brother said, become the light of the world culturally and as a people to become something that other nations look at and say, okay, that's a people that are mysteriously connected to the Most High, you know, or have his direct phone number, other things are working themselves out too. So I just wanted to point that out just from another perspective.
Hallelujah.
Shalom. Thank you so much for your comment. We appreciate it. You know, and those are the things that we have to spend our time doing, you know, today, making it possible for us to come together as a people, you know, and we're not going to get everybody. I'm fully convinced in my observations coming out of Christianity and actually seeing the group of people that we're dealing with and the isms and schisms that we have to face in this community, in this nation, with the people and their beliefs. I'm fully convinced that we're not going to get everybody. But there is a group of us that have understanding of what nation building is all about. And when you build a nation is a diverse group of people that have common interests in place with sometimes different values, different beliefs, different social norms, and these are the things that we're bringing to the table. When the Most High begins to unveil to those people who are unconscious who they are, where their lineage comes from, and what our destiny is, the nation of Yehuda would like to be there as a resource so that they don't run into camps and Knessas that have them going down this dark bunny trail, you know, because it reminds me of Christianity. It just doesn't have the face of Christianity on it. There are different groups all over our nation that believe different things. They share one thing in common, and that's ethnicity, and I think that is the glue that holds us together. That is what we have to start teaching. That is what we have to start implementing and you know, actually drilling home is ethnicity and the prophetic destiny that they have, that the Most High has for us as a people. So, you know, my sentiment is to everyone that's out there that's listening under the sound of my voice, you know, we've all had differences. We've come across against each other in different forms or fashion. But like the young man said, it's time to get excited now. It is time to roll up our sleeves. It looks like we're on our way back home. You know, we're getting ready to go back to our land and build our own economy over there, whether it's under our leadership or the powers that be right now. You know, if we can go there and create commerce, if we can go there and create finance so we can provide for our children, why not? I mean, you know, we have enough people here on welfare, you know, people receiving food stamps and all the things. And when they cut those social service programs off, and they are, then it's going to be some serious wake-up calls for a lot of people because we survive off of those things. You know, we're talking about doing some great things in the Holy Land, and we need all the help we can get. It's time to mend fences, apologize, move forward, and let's roll up our sleeves.
That is
correct.
Go ahead,
Brother Donian.
You are absolutely right. And, you know, we need to put aside our differences and let's get busy. You understand what I'm saying? You know, like I said, we cannot give up. We have to give out. That means, you understand, we have a responsibility till we die to establish ourselves in the land of, because the Almighty said that he was gonna bring us back to a land flowing with milk and honey. And I ain't never, and nowhere in the scriptures did the Almighty make any kind of statement or do anything, and it not come to that did not happen. So, you know, it's our obligation, you understand, to come together. And see, one thing that I'm understanding is that if we look at what's going on today that we did not have a hand in, he said that he's going to that those people, you understand, will perish in their own land. Guess what? They're getting ready to get out of there. They have admitted that they are Khazars, not Hebrew Israelites. And they are secretly making a migration back to the Ukraine. It's on the computer there. It's on you know, and that we didn't have no hand in that. The Almighty said we was gonna go back to our land, and we can't go back to our land. You understand, with them people in rule. Now I'm understanding the way, if I can understand this correctly. You understand that it's not going to be an overnight thing, but the Almighty is hastening the time. He will give us the time that we need, but we don't have no time to waste. We can't just sit back on and twiddle our thumbs. You understand? We need to get together. We can put you can help the nation of Yehuda and the better world by sending in $5. If you send in $5, that's going to be a help towards us building commerce in the land. You understand? So we got to try to do things that's going to bring us back. Like I said, man, many are chosen, many are called, but few are chosen. You understand? And the brother that just spoke, man, you understand? You said a lot of good things. I appreciate that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Again, the lines are open. Please feel free to push 1. I have come to the realization that the Yehuda Project is really moving out and expanding into Christianity, into the Islam faith, you know, and people are beginning to want to join. They're wanting to come together. They're looking for a solution. They're looking for an answer. And there is a proper way to do things, and then there is an improper way to do things. And we believe in doing things properly, legally, morally, and justifiably, because we have to make sure that whatever we do is within the law. It is within the law of Yah first, and then the law of the land by which we live. So we are very carefully and strategically working together to make sure that when you do make the pilgrimage over to the Holy Land, that every opportunity is afforded to you. And there will be no problems with the government. There will be no problems in traveling. There will be no problems at all whatsoever. But one, like the young man said, one thing we should be is excited about the fact that we are beginning to go home. Now, this is not the great exodus that most people are looking for. We're not talking about that. We're talking about those of you who have skills, those of you who want to go to the Holy Land and work under the system of a better world where they are able to pay you and work and use the skills to build up the community so that we can have it. And as we begin to build a community, we're going to build another community. And as we finish with that community, we're going to build another community. And we're going to keep building as the people need to come so that they will have a place to come where they'll understand the heritage that we have in the land. So this is the whole purpose of it all. We're expecting millions and millions of dollars are being donated. There's connections that are made that some of you would not even believe. People are stepping up to the plate saying, what do you need me to do? I have a master's degree in this, or I have a bachelor's degree in this, or I'm a skilled plumber, or I'm a skilled electrician. What do you need us to do? Let us know what we need to do to be on the list to be able to get this done. And that is what we're looking for. You know, we're not going to be harsh. We're not going to be verbally abusive to anyone, and we're going to make sure that there is a full disclosure of what you can expect. But one thing that we do know is that there is employment opportunity there, and we're putting it together right now as we speak so that you will be able to live on the economy and maintain yourself, and you will be able to be there through the AMATA, and then they will eventually work on if you want to make it permanent to be a permanent resident. So these are all the things that they're doing, a very exciting time. You know, and like I said, our job is to make sure that we communicate with you fully as to the progress of this going, and it's going beautifully. I am proud. I am honored to be a part of it, and I am very honored to know Prince Asiel and to be able to have a man of that stature in our corner, you know, and all of the good things that are coming is just a beautiful thing. Brother Donny, are you got anything to say?
I always got something to say. one thing that we got to understand, with the Almighty arm and doing what he's doing now, we don't have no control over there. That's the Almighty. You understand? And so I say this. I say whatever your denomination that you feel it is, at the end of matters, the Almighty going to make sure that it's going to be correct.
Yes.
There's not going to be no differences of opinions and all of that stuff, man. It's going to be one way. Now, I don't know which way he's going who's going to be in charge. It could be Messianic. It could be Torah based. You understand? But we all know. We all... Torah based or Messianic, they all study the scriptures. And that's what's important. You understand? That
that's
we understand what the scriptures say. You understand? So at the end of matters, it's all going to go. And that's out of our control, but believe it or not. That's out of our control. You understand? Because look at what's happening. You understand? The blood moon. If you go in Joel, you understand, it talks about the signs and the wonders. You understand? The time is hastening now. He said that the sun was going to get real dark, and he said it through Joel, that the sun was going to get real dark, and there was going to be a blood moon. And so, and at that time, the Almighty it will bring forth, you understand, his chastisement to all those nations that kept us captive. Another thing here, too, is it's written in the scriptures that we was going to go in there and house all of those buildings that them people is building right now today. You understand? And we were going to build up the waste places. So those things right there is, we don't have no control over that. Our only job is to gather ourselves, seek humility, Mm-hmm. You understand? And truth. I don't know. I think it's truth. I'm not sure. But anyway, you understand? That's our only job. We don't have not one weapon that we could stand up and say that we can fight against these folks. We ain't got to do that. That's not our job. The Almighty said absolutely. He's going to straighten us all out. Hallelujah.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this is one of the topics that we want to talk about, and we ask everyone who's on the line to stay on the line for a moment, because there are some issues that we have to deal with within our own families and understand something. Could you tell them what your title is in the Nation of Yehuda, Brother Adonai?
I'm the director of the Aging, Bereavement, and Disability. And that entails...
Aging, Bereavement, and Disability. We put together a department for the aging, which is the elderly, the bereavement for those of us that pass away, and disabilities for those of us who have are challenged with different disabilities within our nation. This department is so very important, because I want to share an experience with you that I had recently. I went to a person's funeral who was a Hebrew Israelite and his family, and he was the only Hebrew Israelite in his family for a very long time. And this man followed the law. He was Torah only. He committed himself to Sabbath every Sabbath. He believed in Sabbath beginning at Friday night until Saturday night. He was committed to all of those things and making sure that he honored Yah with his life and all of the things that happened in his life. And he got sick. And in that sickness, he developed cancer. He did not know he had cancer. And during that time, you know, him being the only Torah-based Hebrew in his family and everyone else was Christian, you know, he had an opportunity to kind of write down what he wanted in the event that something happened to him. And it was very difficult to address a person who was ill at that particular time and diagnosed with a deadly disease like that. But, you know, and watching the process of this person go through this experience, when the time came and he died, no one in his family respected the life that he lived, and they gave him a Christian funeral. Now, to some, it may not be a big deal, but to the Hebrew Israelite community, we have to urge you that it doesn't make sense to spend your whole life living a certain way, and then when it comes to death, when it's in the hands of other people, that there's nothing that they can do or nothing that they are willing to do to make sure that you die the same way you live. So Brother Adonai's program, that is why we set up the Department of Aging, Bereavement, and Disabilities. We're putting together a program that is throughout the whole country, where we're going to make sure that if we can, if people will just come and register with his department, when people pass away, that we know about it, we would be able to send maybe a moire or someone to wherever the service is being officiated, and they can actually have a Hebrew funeral. Because it saddened me to experience something like that, and the man had lived it his whole life, and that his funeral was such that it was really Christian-based, and everyone knew in the funeral that he was not a Christian. Everyone knew he did not believe in the Messiah, but because of the foundation of his family and where his family was in their life, they made it a point to make sure that they gave him a Christian funeral, because it was more conducive to the people that actually came to the funeral to support them. So, you know, he didn't have a wife. He didn't have any children, you know, and all of the things that happened, you know, with us as a nation, we have to start coming together so that we can provide these types of things for our nation, because we even have to go into the funeral homes that are around the country and let them know that we are a different culture of people, and that if we have a service in the funeral homes where we are, that we make available the resources so that they know who to call and they know what to say and they know what to do. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? These are the things that the Nation of Yehuda is trying to provide for us as a nation. This has nothing to do with belief. Because it didn't matter with us whether he was Torah or Messianic in what he believed. We just want to be able to provide the resources so that in the event that one of us passes away and we live this life our whole life, that we can actually go to the funeral home beforehand and actually have it already prepared, already planned out, and then the families can just show up and the things are being done according to our own wishes. So, you know, this is what we say when we say we're building the nation of Yehuda. And a lot of people say, a nation? You can't build a nation in it within a nation. You're not going to be able to do that. Yes, we can. We can build a system where we can all come together and agree to do things a certain way. And that's the beginning of building a nation. Brother Dummy, you have any comments?
Yes, I do. The thing is that... If we trust in the Almighty with all our heart and our soul, whatever we set up in His name, you understand, it'll manifest itself. You understand, it'll come, it'll all work in our favor. But when we are sitting on the fence and iffy, you understand what I'm saying? The Almighty can't work with nothing like that. He hasn't, we got to trust in the Almighty and let him work for us. You understand? Because that's what he said. Now, another thing here, too, is that the agency that I'm the director of, you understand, we got to set up conferences when they go to the hospital so that they don't get mistreated or abused in the hospital. That's where it all starts at. You understand? Didn't you tell me that they cut his hair?
They did. They cut the hospice. The people that were hospice cut his beard, and they didn't understand the significance of the Hebrew Israelite man's beard. And I guess they thought they were doing a favor, you know, and they did that. And we need to have our own. And we're in the process right now with some of the nurses and the RNs and the LPNs of putting together a hospice organization that is Hebrew-based, that we can actually be called in. We can contract with Medicaid just like the other ones do, and we can be paid by the insurance companies to be able to go in and actually take care of our own people and be there and know the different do's and don'ts of what's permittable and what's not permittable, and to prepare them, because, you know, it's all because they're not used to us. They're not used to us as a people. Right now, we just look like a bunch of people running around with dreads in our hair, and nobody has taken the time and said, okay, look, let's establish a foundation. Let's make sure that the foundation is established so that the community will be used to us as a people and add our culture onto the list of identifying markers so that when in the event that something happens and we go into the hospital facilities or the hospice facilities or the funeral home, there'll be a checkbox by the, are you a Christian, are you Muslim, are you Hebrew, or what do you believe, and they can be checked so that we can make sure we receive the proper and adequate care. And it's not because they don't want to give it to us, it's because nobody has taken the time to set up the foundation. And I'm going to go to this caller right now, area code 312, I'm coming right to you right now because we want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, you're on the air.
No, I was just going to say in the situation you were talking about, I think it's, I mean, like you said, it's just another plight of us being divided as a people, and it just showed the importance of us. Like you said, I mean, that happened in death. I mean, I'm sure he took great pride in his position as far as being exiled and, you know, basically secluding himself to a lifestyle like that was a thing of pride for him. But at the same time, while we're alive, like we build a nation with a lot less tools than we have right now in the desert with, you know what I mean, with the basic things. So it's like, why is it so hard for us to come together now as a people? Now, and like you said, granted, there's going to be disagreements. You know, people's ideologies are going to clash, of course. But build a nation first and then argue over the details of the ideas of the nation later. Like, because like you say, at some point – there's going to have to be some identifying factor. Like, people will have to know that there is a nation of Israel. I don't think the Most High is expecting us to get over to the land and just begin building a nation when we get there. Like, if we can't do it here, what makes us think we're going to be able to do it there? Because the location changed? Do you get what I'm saying? So if this is the testing ground or the oven, if we could use that, we're supposed to be burning all of this mess off of us now to we at the least Israel can come together as a unified force, something that really has never been a consistency with our people, even if you look in the scriptures. Like, we've always been turning on one another or turning one another over or splitting and divided, but this is supposed to be the mark of our return. This is supposed to be what the redemption is all about, that we're different now, that we're able to come together now because we understand the Most High now like our ancestors didn't before. So if we still can't come together, like, what's the problem?
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. And also, you know, when you think about it, I think, you know, that when the families actually sat down with the doctors and the nurses at the time that he was really sick, the question was asked, you know, what is his denomination or what does he believe? And they said, well, he's Hebrew. And they said, well, we're not familiar with that. Or is he a Jew? Because they were associating him with the Jewish people. And they said, no, he's Hebrew Israelite. And they had never heard of it. They said, we have never heard of that. So inform us as to the things that he needs. Is there anything special that he needs? Is there something we need to put together so that we can make sure that we don't offend his belief? And when you look at how long we've been in existence and how long they brag about 1800 and 1600, and now we're in the 2000 a year of being here, you know, of the knowledge of who we are, nobody has taken the time and said, we need to organize something for our people. And that is what the nation of Yehuda is all about, is the organization of the structure of our people. And Brother Adonai is the director of that department, and we have all of the things in place where we will be able to provide resources, what we wanted to, what we are, one of our goals, and I see you, Erico 513, I'll get right to you. One of our goals with his department is to have people to donate funding so that when they call and say, we need assistance with the funeral, or what can you provide, we will be able to say, well, we have a one-time fee where we can provide $300 per person per funeral, be able to help our people. But everyone is so doggone divided that we cannot get, and it's like, okay, well, what's the point of even going through the name-calling and wearing the Gigi and walking around with the stuff on if you're not willing to have the people know who we are as a people? It's like they're afraid, and you know what somebody told me? Everyone that's walking around that's afraid today that to really acknowledge the fact that they're Hebrew Israelites, the men and women that went to Israel, that fought through Liberia and all the things, it is not a secret. It's not a worldwide secret. Everybody knows who we are. We're just afraid to stand up and put something together.
That is correct. You understand? And you have my sympathies. Go to the call and I'll come back to me.
All right. Erico 513, go ahead. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can, yes.
Oh, okay. I just would like to respond to the brother that spoke. The problem is people need to be educated as to what Hebrew Israelites are. The more that they stay hidden, these types of things are going to continue to happen. And what you're dealing with is a cultural thing. When somebody dies, the first thing they do is they go to the funeral home and they get embalmed, and nobody really knows what a Hebrew Israelite funeral looks like, and it's a cultural thing. So, you know, speaking of that young man's funeral, a lot of that was a lot of shame, and they didn't want the other people to know that he was Hebrew Israelite, because it went against the grain, it went against the culture, it went against Christianity's culture. So a lot of people are hidden because when you go against the grain and you go against the culture, people are going to come up against you. You know, people are going to talk about you. People need to get over themselves. If this is something that is needed, then everybody needs to come together and come to a common ground and start educating the people what exactly is needed for this nation when it comes to medical care, when it comes to people passing away. What are their needs? What do you want? But if people continue to stay hidden, it's because people are not educated in the Hebrew Israelites. People don't know anything about it. I mean, they look at dreads as a fad now. It's so many people that have dreadlocks, it's a style. They don't know what that means. They don't know the significance of why the men had their hair locked and what the locks really meant to that man. They're going to the barbershop and getting them put in. They're not even growing them anymore. I mean, so we have to come up against culture, but we need a basic foundational understanding of what this nation is and what is it about to do in the U.S. of A. and in other countries. Without that understanding, it's like just grasping a straw. You just grasping a straw.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I agree with you 100%. Let me add one more thing to that caller. Even with the men that are incarcerated, you know, there's a scripture that says that the Most High is going to open up the prison doors and release the brothers, you know, and we have to do something to get this information out. And you know what the sad part about it is? It's out there over the Internet. But you know why it's not grabbing hold? It's because of their approach. And you can't get them to see that you have to change your approach. You're going to have to change the concept of the way people see you, because if you come across dogmatic and you come across like a cult, no one is going to hear you. And it is not, let me say this, it is not our responsibility to tell the other nations what is going to befall them. Our responsibility is to gather our people. And because
Hallelujah.
We spend so much time telling, making claims like the white man going to die, or some y'all going to be destroyed, or something going to happen to you, we lose focus of what the main thing is, and that is to bring our people into the knowledge and to capture the minds of our young people. And when we can understand that the approach has to change, then we'll be able to move in a direction that's more positive. But other than that, the nation of Yehuda is fighting, and we continue to fight to get the attention of the people, those few that straggle in that want to know the truth. And that's it.
Hallelujah.
One thing that I am big on, and that is strategy. A vision can be a great vision, but without strategy and the implementation of that strategy, that vision will go nowhere. I'm a big person on not reinventing the wheel. The wheel doesn't have to be reinvented. Look at these other organizations or other nations that got started, and they are unified. The question would be, how did they do it? How did they get these people to come together? How are they standing as one? Look at the Nation of Islam. They walk together as one. They talk together as one. They rally together as one. They got their own this. They got their own that. How did these people do that? And when you sit down and take note of how they did it, and you come up with a strategic plan, and you get some solid people to back you, it's going to already move itself. But they still need a basic understanding of the vision and the mission and where everybody is going. Because to be honest with you, not too many people out here know about the Nation of Yehuda. They don't know about the Hebrew Israelites. I'm out here every day. I'm in the church every day. Nobody's preaching it. Nobody knows anything about it until you get out of here and you hit the street or you get on TV or whatever it takes. It has to be known. It has to be made public somewhere, somehow. If you have your own funeral home, I mean, where is the Hebrew Israelite funeral home? You know, where are these things at? And if these things don't exist yet, but they can exist, you just need a strategy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Air code 312, we're going to get right to you. Go ahead, Brother Adonai. I'm sorry.
Yeah. See, this is the reason that we set up the think tank. We need all of that fire and that passion to bring it to the think tank so that we can establish a strategy as to how we promote ourselves and how and what we can do to bring about the the praise and honor that the Almighty will give us if we establish, if we bring about this establishment. Now, you know, first of all, you understand, we got to figure out who we are. Are we Jews or are we Hebrew? When we mention that we Jews, you know what they say? Oh, you Jewish. And see, they are established, and they think that because we say we Jews, that we under their banner. We're not under their banner. We got to figure out what we're going to call ourselves. And that has to be established when we go to the think tank. You understand? From now on, we're going to be Hebrews. There's no Jew for real. You understand?
Absolutely.
So we have to go go to the think tank and let it be known that we are Hebrew Israelites. We are the people
That's
of the
right.
scripture. Then the second
right.
thing is that we have to try to establish certain things. You understand? The young lady, she said that we don't have our own funeral parlor. We're not running no funeral parlor. We don't even have priests that we could send anywhere. We got to try to establish all of that. You understand? We got to try to put those things in place. You understand? So that even if we don't have our own funeral parlor, we got some priests that, or some Levites that we can send to certain events that's going to happen. That's inevitable. You're going to die. You understand?
That's true.
But we're going to, the Hebrew Israelite, you understand, we can have an Israelite function. And I've been to several Hebrew Israelite funerals. They're beautiful. They have a big send-off.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, but the most of the time, like I said, in this individual's situation, it was not done right. Nobody cared to ask. Nobody asked any questions. It was done the way they wanted it done. And what was so insulting and what added insult to injury was after we all were finished with the funeral and the man came in to release everybody, he stood up and said, Jesus is soon to come. And this man didn't even believe in the Messiah. And, you know, it was just a disgrace. And it made me realize at this point that we have to do something. And like the sister said, it's time to roll up our sleeves and go to work. We have people with master's degrees, 2 and 3 master's degrees, that have joined the nation of Yehuda, that have rolled up their sleeves, that are putting the effort together to build this nation to the point where we can provide resources for our people. They're in every area, business owners, retired school teachers. We got police officers. We got all kind of people that have come on board to say, hey, let us do this. We're going to get this job done. Because we realize the fact that the matter is we exist, for one. We do exist. And for two, we are in America. That's number two. And number three, we live a culture that, like she said, nobody's made aware of because they label us as being a cult because nobody has taken the time to structure it into what it should be structured into. And that is why we hooked up, and I won't say hooked up, we joined forces with Members of a Better World, Prince ICL and all of his crew to make it known and people understand that we are going to do this. And like Brother Donnie, I said, this is an opportunity for you to make some money. I mean, you know, if you had a moray that would be willing to come, that's in Cincinnati, that could have come to the funeral and officiated it, of course, if the family was about that, they would have definitely given him something. They give the other preacher something when they pull him into a funeral situation and ask them to come to officiate a service. So these are the things that we need to start doing and stop arguing with each other and wasting time. Cut the debates and all of the mess off and start building so that our children will have something other than this secret little sneaky little cult that's over in the corner that wears tassels and they wear zizis and they walk around with their hair dread. That's not who we are.
Yeah.
It's bigger
We're
than
more
that.
Than that. I mean, we are more than that. We more than just wearing ZGs and Israelite garb. You understand? We are more than that. You understand? But we have to establish ourselves. We have to put things in place. You understand? So that when things happen, we can stand up for ours. You know, a long time ago, I think last year on this radio broadcast, I said that when that thing happened to storm came into Katrina, You understand? That happened. We should have had in place some people to go down there and help them folks. We didn't have that. I mean, all over the country, we got Israelites. All over this country, we got Israelites. But we didn't have nobody set up. So we need to have these things in place. You understand? We have to have things in place where we can help folks. You understand? And the Almighty. See, the Almighty, if we do that, see, it says in the scriptures that if a house will not be established unless it's established in the name of Yah. And if we do these things in the name of the Almighty, He'll bless our hand abundantly. You understand?
So, but you know why it doesn't happen? It's because we are too busy worried about, well, who's going to be in charge. Well, who's going to run the money? Well, who's going to do this? Well, guess what? You're going to have to trust somebody. And evidently, nobody has ever stepped up to the plate because we don't have anything established.
Well,
and we have a whole bunch of, Chicago is full of Morays and Knessas and all kind of camps and all kind of stuff. They got brothers in New York City all over the Internet, YouTube, all in California doing all that kind of stuff. But nobody's ever thought about the fact that one day we're going to die. And one day we're going to be born, and our babies, when our babies are born, our sons, they are supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day.
That is correct.
They don't even follow that procedure in the hospital. So that means we have to get doctors who are willing to follow our culture and circumcise our children on the eighth day. These are the things that have to be done, but nobody's thinking about it. Everybody whispers among themselves, tips around, and do what they need to do for their family. But as a nation as a whole, nobody's ever stepped up and said, we're going to do this. So this is why we're organizing the nation of Yehuda with all kind of people that are willing to come on board and say, let's build this thing, like she said, strategically from one end of the country to the other, and then internationally all over the world. Because it's an opportunity for us to come together and build something so our children will have something to stand on. Because a lot of people just go back to church. They'd be like, well, I know it's a lie, but at least they organized. I'm going back into that. Because people want organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct. You understand? And that's why I am promoting the think tank that's supposed to come off in October 27th, 28th, and 29th. I need to promote that because we need to bring ideas to the table. And not only bring the ideas to the table, but put them into practice. Because if we don't, we can talk all day long. Talk is cheap. You don't have to have no money to talk. You understand? But putting things in action is what we need to do. You understand? I'm promoting this. I love to see this happen. And this is the Almighty's time. The reason why these things are coming into view right now is because the time is short. Almighty said He's hastening time. If you look at the days running into one another, you understand what I'm saying? You could see this happening. You understand? And we don't have no control over the days running into one another. Our only job is that we come together and start to try to build this nation. You understand? And the brother made a good point when he said that we need to try to do something in this land. Of course, that's where it's got to start at. You understand?
That's right. It sure do. Or else you it don't matter
where you change
the location because you just change the location because you're still taking you with you. And until your mind changes and your thinking changes, it's going to be the same old stuff wherever you go. It's not going to change. It's going to be
a group
of people.
Yeah. Yeah, one other thing here is that we established in the land as a nation, Hebrew nation.
Yes.
The tribe of Yehuda is in the land. You understand? But what they need here is we need to take and establish ourselves as a people here. You understand? Build a government structure right now so that we can take it on over to the land. You understand? And so that everybody that comes into that migrates from here to the land, you understand, will be under the same understanding and structure. But we, and that's what the think tank is all about. We got to try to do this. You understand what I'm saying? And if we don't do it, if we drag our feet and don't put forth a great effort in trying to put this together, then we're going to be taken out the picture. And our children will do it because the Almighty is true to his word. He said we're going back into the land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah.
That's true. And the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, that was a Christian pastor, the woman that spoke, and she's saying from Christianity, they know nothing about us. And that's a shame. That is a shame. I mean, for real, but guess what? That takes marketing strategy. We need people that have marketing education, people that have the ability to use their marketing skills. All of us have gone to college. We have degrees, and it doesn't matter. People are volunteering their time after they finish working or whatever they're doing. They're volunteering their time to be able to build this thing because they believe in it. And we need those type of people. And if you're not that type of person, don't come, because we need you to understand the importance of rolling up your sleeve and let's go to work. We need graphic designers. We need social network people that can put together a social network program. Just flood everything. Just like one of the sisters said, boots on the ground. We need to put our children together to start passing out flyers and doing different things all over the country. But again, like I said, it's only a few. We have a few good men that are willing to put their resources, their time, talent, and treasure together to really be able to help. You know, we need to go into the prison systems and begin to preach this message. Get this message out there for those who want to hear, those who want to come, to understand who they are and what's expected and what's going to happen. It's so much work to be done that we can't do it all. And we're doing a lot when you talk about putting together the nation of Yehuda, developing the departments, joining with the people in Israel, building the community over there, preparing for our people to pilgrimage from here to there, and then trying to grab the attention of our young people. We need everybody's participation. But you know what we have? We have a whole bunch of people that spend their time on conference calls debating with each other, pow talk, debating with each other. Because, see, that's the cheap man's way out. They don't have to put forth no effort but dial the phone. They don't have to give up any time other than to call in on the phone and argue over scriptures. Those are the people that you need to stay away from because they're not doing anything.
Yeah. If you remember what I said, many are called, but few are chosen. I want to be one of the people that are chosen. You understand? And the only way that you can be chosen is that you got to step out there on blind faith. You understand? And it's not blind faith because we know that the Almighty is true to his word. You understand? So, our thing is that we have this little think tank and we put together put together organizations and everything because, see, one thing is to bring those brothers and sisters the message of the true and living Yah, you understand, in to the penitentiary. But we got, when they come out, we got to have something for them. We got to have places where they can go and go to work and put, and rather than go back into doing the same thing that they was doing. And see, that's one of my pet peeves is that talk is cheap. We can tell them this all day long, but we don't have nothing to show for it. Hallelujah.
That's right. You're absolutely right. So, Pastor, we appreciate your comment. If you have anything else to say, your mic is open. You're welcome to speak. But at this point, we are at the point where we're building and we're forging ahead. We don't have a whole lot of time to spend with people who want to debate, people who want to argue, people who waste time, because that's a waste of time. That's a waste of time and energy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You have something you want to say?
I'd just like to comment that, you have a lot of people around you that got their education in the U.S. The things that you all are looking for in other people, you have it right there. You just have to utilize the gifts that you all have. Like you said, you all have master's degrees and doctorate degrees in different areas. Put those things to use. Use what this world used to get what they need across. Use it for your nation. Do a SWOT analysis. Take surveys. See what people need. See what they don't understand. See what they understand. I mean, you have 50 different things that you have to tackle, but you can only do one at a time. And in building a nation, like building an organization, I mean, you know, some of y'all went to school for that. You know what's first. You need to do a SWOT analysis. What's your strength? What's your weaknesses? You know, what you got in your corner? You know, you have to do these things before you even start a marketing strategy. You need to see where your strong points is and where your weak points are. Even when you form your think tank, the think tank need to be strong, dependable people, but educated people that are willing to come together and make some sound decisions for the nation. I mean, y'all on the right track. It's just it's just coming together and getting out of this cultural thing, because that's what it is. Because people are so used culture that they don't want to understand anything else. And just like, I'm sorry, I don't even know the man's name that spoke, but you know, I'm like him. Talk is cheap. People want to see action. And a lot of times people don't want to come into something when they don't see any results, because they've been told so much, even the church. They have been told so much, and they don't even see results. So they just rather stay where they are. But if you start your planning process and be strategic with it and start to get the results, you'll see the fruit from those results, and that's all.
All right. Thank you so much for your comment. We definitely appreciate it, and we agree with you 100%. She's absolutely right. You know, and like she said, we're doing that. We're putting it together. And like we said, every week that we're on this show, we invite all of you all around the country that want to participate in building the nation of Yehuda to email us at the Yehuda Project, the same name of the show, at gmail.com, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Roll up your sleeves. Let's go to work. Let's build a nation. Let's do what we're supposed to do and move on to the next level, because I'm telling you, and the way that you win is you understand what you're dealing with, and you strategically work around the opposition. And the thing that's going to beat everybody else is love. Because people have been through enough. People have been through enough. The women don't need to be called whores. They don't need to be called bitches. They need to be called princesses and queens and beautiful black women. We are going to beat it with love, because that is what's going to have to be. We have gone through enough as a people. Anytime you have our young people are on heroin and they're snorting crack cocaine and they're walking the streets and the women and the men both are selling their bodies, our young children are out here doing this. We have a responsibility to show them something different. And we've had enough of the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and all of the other people that's been out in front. It's our turn to do this for our own people. We have a responsibility to make this thing work. And this is the only way it's going to work. And like I said, if you're on this program, you've been faithful to this program, and you've been listening, and you've been looking for a place to join, this is the place to join, because we are all about positivity. We're all about moving, and we have grown in the last year. We've grown phenomenally. People are coming in from all over the country joining us. People from the United Kingdom have contacted us that want to join us. Everybody wants to come together to make this thing happen so that we can do something to better our communities, because we're the only ones that's going to be able to do it. Brother Donia, you have something to say?
Yes, I do. One thing that I wanted to say is that I commend the sister for her talk, her saying what she had to say. And I want to say this, is that these things ain't going to happen overnight. We don't have no time to waste. You understand? We need to, you know, one thing for sure, if we don't do nothing, we contribute to our own demise. You understand? We need to take our destiny in our own hands and start putting together things. There's a carbon, we have a carbon copy. From the time that we set our foot on this planet, on this continent, you understand? We have been trying to put together things. They had Al Sharpton, they had Marcus Garvey, they had Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. They all put together certain things, but they could not make it work because they were not doing it in the name of the Almighty. You understand? And they sustained our living until this day and time that we in today. It is our responsibility as Hebrew Israelites to start working in our own behalf. You understand? And stop trying to being negative. You understand? Oh, that ain't gonna work. If it ain't gonna work, then stand out the way. Let somebody else get in there and do something. But it's our duty. If we don't, we like the Sister Yaina said, it is our duty, you understand, to help our brothers and sisters and to put things in place. You understand what I'm saying? You know, our children are at stake here. That you know, I mean, just the other day, man, 3 days in a row in Georgia, you understand? There was 3 murders, and they were multis. It was 2 or more in each one of those murders, and they were kids. They were not no adults. So we got to show them something different here. They come from out of the penitentiary, and they don't care about whether they go back or not. So they gonna do what the society has taught them. The society has taught them to do evil. We got to bring righteousness into the thing, and we that's our job. You understand? We can sit back and say that ain't gonna work if we want to. Then stand out the way, please.
That's
hallelujah.
Right. That's what I say, brother. If you're not going to stand up, don't speak up. I mean, that's just where we are now. And like I said, we have grown exponentially in the nation of Yehuda. People with master's degrees have joined us. They rolled up their sleeves. People in Israel have joined us. The United Kingdom have joined us. We're rolling up our sleeves, and we're getting ready to build. We're building this thing to make this thing happen. And like I said, anytime we don't have our own system set up so that when we die, because we are going to die, when we die, that we don't have a system where we can contact an organization and set up funeral arrangements or have someone come officiate the funeral, we are a joke. We have been spending time doing nothing. We have done nothing.
Spinning our wheels.
We have nurses and all of that within our family, our Hebrew family, and nobody has set up a hospice organization. We are a joke. Stop. Hang up the blog talks. Get off the power talk. Get off the conference calls, because this is a joke. We are a nation. And it doesn't make sense that I haven't even been in it this long. But the longer that I have been in it, I've seen enough. This is a joke. We have enough educated people and people with skills to be able to come together and build this nation. Instead of arguing with each other and fighting with each other over nonsense and trying to make the other person look bad because you didn't come up with the idea. Let's get it done. Because anytime the church don't know who we are and you're on the street corner, something's wrong. You're not being effective. The approach is not working. Anytime you're on a conference call cussing people out, it's not working. It's
that
a
is
joke.
Correct. Yep, that is correct. Yaina, did you ever read Frederick Douglass's proclamation that he said on the Independence Day?
No, sir, I didn't. I didn't even read all that because I can't get past the Hebrew Israel. Like, it's a joke. It is a joke. I'm serious.
You
got to
understand.
You
got to understand that this was Deuteronomy 28 playing out. You understand? And now the time has gotten short. The Almighty said he's hastening the time. You understand? And so we had to go through what we go through. That's why I was trying to tell you, you understand, that all of those activists and martyrs and preachers and everything they just sustained our living, because the Almighty said that Jacob shall be here forever. So the ones that had to perish, they perished before us. You understand? And they have there's a carbon copy of how to set this up. We set it up. You understand? We look at how they set certain things up. You understand? And look how powerful this is. Marcus Garvey had boats going back to Africa. So that's a key factor here. You understand?
But listen to me when I tell you. Coming into the knowledge of who we are, watching the whole Hebrew Israelite movement as a whole, it is a joke. Do you hear me? It is
no,
a joke
not,
that
not
a man
really.
Died. He lived
yeah, but
his
not really,
whole
but
life.
See, because,
Hebrew. Let me finish. He lived his whole life as a Hebrew Israelite. We have nothing established. There's nothing established. There's no clinics. We don't have any sort of foundation. Anytime a Christian pastor can come on our line and say, the church doesn't even know you exist. There are people in the church that don't want to be there. They know it's not working, but no one has taken the time to even let them know you exist. We have nurses that are Hebrew Israelites that have gone to school, that have gotten degrees, that have been in this, lived this thing for years. Nobody has taken the time and said, okay, well, let me start a hospice organization in my state, and I'm going to take care of the Hebrew Israelites so that I can make sure their culture is honored in death as it is in life. You know what I'm saying? We've spent more time arguing with each other that the things that are important, nobody's really listening, and it's like, look, we're really beating a dead horse because we could have been a whole lot farther than we are right now if somebody would have just said, okay, look, you do it. We'll support what you do it. But everybody's arguing with each other. They spending more time trying to change beliefs than they are trying to build a nation. This is not about beliefs. This has nothing to do with beliefs. That man, he lived, I know how he lived. He was a Hebrew Israelite. He lived his life honorably. He served Yah. He was not a messianic. He did not believe in the New Testament. And when he got sick, you know, the family didn't even bother to find out because he wasn't married. He didn't have any children. Nobody bothered to find out, well, how do you all do the funeral? And who do we need to call for the funeral? They gave him a Christian funeral because, you know what, we didn't have anything set up. There was nothing set up. And when we asked him, who do you want us to call? He said, none of it is organized. This is what came out of his mouth. And he was dying of cancer. He said, nothing set up, no way. I don't know who to call. This is sad.
Yeah, all right. I mean, listen, I understand that, and I understand your passion, and I'm hurt by that fact, too. But this right now ought to open our eyes here as to what we need to do. That happened so that we could find out what we need to do and put it into practice. You understand? You know, see, like I was trying to tell you, you understand that the Deuteronomy 28, you understand, we were blind. Now we are opening our eyes. You understand? Remember the Ezekiel, you understand, the Valley of the Dry Bones. We just coming alive. You understand? So all of these things have to go down. You understand? Now we're getting ready to... you got to bring that passion that you have right now to the think tank, so you can make a proclamation. You understand? And try to get people to understand the gravity of what's going down here, what we need to do, and how we need to put things together. You understand? I said this, and I'll say it again. You understand? We put this place together from the outhouse to the White House. You understand? So I know that we can do this. You understand?
We
just got to have
it. It's not a question of whether or not we can do it. It's just that it's time for people to realize that what you've been doing ain't working. It's not working. Anytime that's going on, we need to really rethink our whole process because it doesn't have to be at the Nation of Yehuda. Let me make that very clear. It does not have to be based at the Nation of Yehuda. It can be in every organization all over the country, and then every one of us can have all of the information in the event someone dies on this a part of the country where we are. We can pull up a database and click a person's name and say, we need to call Moray Kada. He'll go over and officiate the service. We can donate $100 to your funeral services. These are the things that we can do to make sure, because this man had no wife, he had no children, and he was the only Hebrew Israelite in the family that came into the knowledge. And at the end of the day, he had no one. And he was a member of Elisha's camp here in Cincinnati. Nobody was able to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'll take care of it. I'll do it. We'll do it like this, or we're going to get it done like that. This is the part, though. These are the things that we need to start working on, people. These are the things that have to be the foundation of what we do, and we need to quit arguing. I have someone here from 757. Hold on. I'm going to get right to you. Just one moment, please. 757, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom.
757, you're on the air.
Kane, shalom, shalom.
They have muted their phone. We'll give them a moment. Brother Donnie,
oh,
I have
he's on the phone now.
Hello? Shalom, shalom.
I don't know who it is. They're not saying anything. Eric Code 757,
yes, yes,
you're on the air.
Kane, I'm trying to speak. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm trying to speak.
Yeah, I can hear
shalom,
you now.
Shalom.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, yes. I want to rise and first give honor to Yahuwah, our Elohim, our power, our strength, our love, our everything. Huh. I feel so good right now, and the sun is shining. I hope it's affecting me like it's affecting you. I feel good about what I'm hearing. I hear a lot of passion. I hear the things that we know that we face as a detriment of our people. I'm hearing a lot of what we should be doing. I'm hearing a lot of what we are doing. I'm feeling good with every twist and every turn that this is taking. But what makes me draw to this conclusion and what I'm projecting right now, my name is Anaya, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't say that when I came on. I thought I did, but it was kind of fuzzy in the beginning. But I want to greet you, all of you. Shalom, shalom. My love, my strength, and my power, my love to Yah, to you. And I hope everybody that is talking, is listening, is understanding the passion of our people, the things that are going on, but at the same time, we are not going to let them discourage us, because my sister's right. We got to recognize what was going on. My brother's right. We can do it. And now it's about us collectively as well as individually when this phone hangs up, when we're not talking on the phone, when we're not talking to each other, and understanding that we cannot save the world, and understanding that only a remnant is going to return. So when we look around, it is going to be a little bit of people doing it. But what's most important is that their behavior does not discourage us. Does not discourage us that's here on these lines, understanding our connection with Yah and still having faith in Yah in a detriment situation, because Yah's glory is in a situation where you thought it could never come, where it looks impossible, where it looks like it's going to just fall apart. That's where Yah puts his glory. So I just feel good about everywhere and every emotion that's being transliterated right now, and I just want y'all both to feel and everybody else on the line to just remember that Yah has everything under control. And if we are people that seen the things in our lives and seen, look back in the past, the way our people look and have behaved, and every year we have recognized that our people are lost, our people need, our people got to get themselves together. Every year, Yah gives us a new understanding about him. He shows us his expansion on how he's more great, and we understand him more every year. So now if every year we keep talking about the same problems that we have been seeing about our people, it keeps us in that frequency. And if Yah is getting his glory all the time, right now and every moment, because the past is the gone and the future is the not yet, and we living in the now, and Yah gets his glory in the now, and the only way we can get into that is to tap into that frequency. That's why when we're talking about these things that we're talking about, always good to remember at the end of it all that Yah has everything under control. So I feel good about what I'm hearing, and I hope everybody at the bottom line has that same premise, because all it would do is give Yah the glory and a place to show up in to prove that he has everything under control. So shalom, shalom, and I hope everybody continues to have a blessed time while we're here on this phone. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom, man. I appreciate you.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Naya.
Can you hear me, Brother Donion?
Kane, go right ahead.
Okay, we got another one. Area code 248. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm sorry, like,
wait.
Pursuit.
Shalom,
shalom. Shalom,
shalom.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Shalom.
Okay, area code 248, we cannot hear you. Are you there?
Shalom.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Pursuit calling from Oak Park, Michigan. Shout out to everybody that's on the phone. Right now, I'm just
shalom.
Shalom. Did you want me to answer a question? Because, like, I didn't...
Oh, okay. I didn't know whether you had pushed one or not, but we were talking about the fact that we can definitely put some things together for our nation. We had a Christian pastor to come on the line, and she stated that most of the people in the church don't even know about what we're doing and what we're building because, you know, we're not really out there like we should be, flooding the markets and the streets and all of the different things that are available to us. So how do you feel about that?
I feel that anything that's positive for the community is beneficial for our Hebrew Israelites and unknown Hebrew Israelites. Like, I mean, I can only feel one way about it. I think it's great. And, I mean, any way that I can help, I would love to. Any type of positive environment that I can have an influence on, you know, if the more positive, the better. That'd be great.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know what? We would love to have you. Our email address is the Yehuda Project, spelled YEHUDAH, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Email us when you get a chance to get home, because we have people all across the United States now that have joined us, that have rolled up their sleeves. We have nurses, doctors, lawyers, school teachers. We're moving in the direction where we are actually going to be sitting down with President Obama. We have a connection right there with him now, you know, someone that is a personal friend of his that is getting ready to walk us up, and we'll be able to sit down and talk to him at some point. Hopefully we'll be able to get in there and have a conversation with him, you know, because we need to have, and not that we need his permission to do anything, because we have the ability to do everything we need. Everything we need is right here at our fingertips. And the few people, and when I say a few, almost less than 100 people that have joined the Nation of Yehuda and that are working in offices, you know, we have made major headways in terms of getting this word out here and getting this thing done. But the more people that we have virtual across the country, the better, because we all got to come together and build this thing. And like I said, anytime a man dies and he lives an honorable life and he observes the law and he observes the Sabbath and he does everything he's supposed to do, he grows his beard according to the law, and he lives that way, there is no way in for this earth that a hospice agency should be able to go into a nursing home and cut a man's beard off because they cared not to follow instructions. There's no way they should have played Christian music at his funeral. I mean, these are the things that we don't pay attention to and the things that matter.
Man, say it then, Harriet Tubman, 2014. That's what's up.
You know, so we need you to help us. If you want to come aboard, please email us at the Yehuda Project, you know, because we're doing things both here in America and abroad in Israel and in the United Kingdom. So we're working this thing as the best we can, but we need all the help we can get. We need everybody's participation to come together, because we just had a Christian pastor say they don't even know anything about us. We should be passing out flyers at churches, printing up flyers, passing out flyers, and every
Hello?
Dang.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Ultimately, you sound like your words is very passionate, and it gives me this sense of drive and desire to jump on board. And whatever sisterhood you got going on, I want to be a part of it. I would like that to be, you know, a regular social communication, so that way, and I want to be a part of it. Like, you sound like, you know, it's going to manifest into something greater than an individual, and I want to be impact my people.
Sister Yaina, get her number.
Listen at that. Hallelujah. Do you have an email address? Can you email us when you get off the line?
Yeah, Yehuda Project.
At gmail.com.
Okay, got it. Gmail, Yehuda Project. Because I'm, like, with my son right now and his friends, so I'm doing, like, a mother-parent thing, like, child.
Okay.
So, you know, right now I'm, like, dedicating my time to him, but the Most High is always important. And it's great that I've been invited to participate in this, and I feel like the Most High is still with me, and I'm grateful to be had the opportunity to be down with it.
Hallelujah.
We love to have you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sis, for your comment. We appreciate it. And please stay on the line and continue to listen. Brother Donnie, what do you have to say about that one?
That's why we're on this radio program, is because when people have the feeling to do something, we got to be in place. We just see what happened there is that if this program was not in place, then when they have that little passion to do something, they won't know which way to go. We got an opportunity here. You understand? This, you know, that is our job. We got to recognize, man. You know, I understand, man, you know, that it's a lot of work. A lot of things need to be put in place, but we got to prioritize now. Right now, what we're doing is bringing the message. When we have that think tank, you understand, we put things stuff on paper. We put, we put people in place, man. You understand, and we follow up. That's the whole thing that we slow on following up on that stuff. You understand? You know that's the. You know we put things in place. This is not the first time that this happened. You understand? We've had other organizations, other conferences, you understand? But they don't have no follow-up. You understand? But see, here, we got to understand that this is the Almighty's time. He's waking up people, bringing people on, you understand? Because he's getting ready to call this whole thing in. You understand? He's getting ready to show up and show out. You understand? So we got to be in place. He's trying to put us in place. Hallelujah.
That's right. And guess what? Anytime the Khazars, and I want you all to pay attention to what we're about to say, anytime the Khazars in Israel have admitted that they are not the Jews and that they are originally from the Ukraine and that they are leaving Israel, it's time for us to start paying attention.
That is correct. Absolutely. You understand? Because the Almighty is getting ready to bring us back home. We got that. We can't go home, you understand, all willy-nilly and don't have each one, you understand, got their own understanding. The Almighty is trying to put us in place, trying to show us, you understand, and get us to get these agencies and to set up a government structure, you understand, because then we can go and bring the government structure on into the land, you understand, so that when people start coming into the land, you understand, we got something set up for them. That's the major thing. That's what he's doing now, you understand.
Hallelujah.
And, what he made them, he made those Khazars, those people from Ukraine, he made this happen with them. We didn't have nothing to do with that.
Hallelujah.
You understand? We didn't have a darn thing to do with that. You understand? If we stay focused, on our job, we got to hear. We got to, you understand? Even when I said that the Vatican, the Pope is going over there, that ain't going to work. You understand?
Hallelujah.
But we don't have nothing to do with that. Our job is to set up ourselves. Hallelujah.
Yep.
That is our job. We don't have nothing to do with none of that nonsense, man. And, you know, as far as us being, we ain't so far away from becoming a nation. We closer than we ever been. We're closer than we ever been.
That's the part that we have to let people know. It's already happening. We already a nation. It's already happening. The Most High brought the people to the nation of Yehuda. We didn't have to seek anybody out. We didn't have to go find nobody. They came directly to us. We're starting to build the nation of Yehuda. The world is getting ready to know the royal house of King Dawid. We're getting ready to step out on the circuit and let the world know that we exist. The hidden ones are being revealed. This is one of the most greatest times in history, and all I can say is wow. We have somebody else that pushed the line. Area code 757. I'm gonna get right with you. Just give me one more second. But it's an amazing time. You know, and no, this is not the Exodus. No, this is not the Exodus where the Most High coming to get us from all four corners of the earth. No, that's not what this is. But as I used to tell you all the time, there's a strategy, and he does things decent and in order. And he has always used a Hebrew Israelite to go to the king to get validation for his people to be able to move and strategically move across this globe. It's all through the scripture. So the things that are happening now is nobody but him. And every week we get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, this is Prince so-and-so, or hey, this is so-and-so, so-and-so, or hey, this is Congressman such-and-such. I mean, it's just every time we turn around, something something that's happening big. And we know this is the Most High, so we're sharing it with you. We're giving you an opportunity to join if you would like to join. We have a process where we appoint people to different offices and all of the things that are going on. And people are joining. Most people are joining board with what we're doing, and it is powerful. Hold on. Area code 757, I'm coming right to you right now. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom.
Family, it's Kaveridina. I'm joining y'all for the first time today. I'm so very inspired. First and foremost, always giving thanks and praises to our Creator. I feel blessed to hear what you're saying, to our elders, to my brothers and sisters. Peace and blessings to you. Coming from the Hebrew family of Virginia, coming from my heart. Just want to let you know that I've heard about your show, and I was determined to listen to it today, and I'm inspired. And what I'm hearing is magnificent. They're so close, like my elder just said. I mean, we Most High is with us. He's calling us. He's showing us. You're getting phone calls, and you're getting messages from peace or whatever you said, excuse me, a minute ago about someone not knowing about us from the Christians, and that's we're going to change that. I just wanted to lend my support, lend my love to you, and let you know that I will also send you my email and what I can do to help. I came in on the sister talking about us not having things in place, and that's something I, too, recognize. And I wanted to ask this question with all respect, may the Most High bless me, not to seem or sound controversial at all. I wondered what our understanding of Shabbat has to do with our lack of business. How does that fit in? How do we make ourselves business savvy here, if that is our endeavor or intention, and still, you know, live law? And I think that's one part of why we don't really have a lot of businesses here, because almost Friday and Saturday is, you know, this is their day. Those are their days. Friday night, Saturdays are days that, you know, a lot of people that don't have our understanding look to do business, and I know that we don't do business on that day, and I wondered, how do we incorporate ourselves as world class, as administrators, as business people, as service providers, and keep that law?
Hey, you know what, that's a great question. Brother Donia, can I go first? Because I know
go
you're
right
in
here.
There, but sis,
we're
already doing it. And let me tell you how we do it. We just do it. We're already doing it. We're building the nation of Yehuda. And at Friday night, we shut down. Saturday night, we shut down. Today is the first day of the week for us, and we operate. And you do it by becoming entrepreneurs. And if you're not the entrepreneur, then you work for the entrepreneur. That's the Hebrew. And as the company sets the protocol and the atmosphere from a Hebrew Israelite standpoint, you tell everybody, oh, we don't work on Friday nights and Saturday nights. That's our Sabbath. Anytime we go for a job, we let them know we can't work on the Sabbath. That's our day. But you know what? When you're supporting their economy, they don't really care one way or the other. So guess what we're doing? We're building up our own businesses and open up our own establishments. If you're a nurse, then get certified to be able to handle Medicaid. Be certified to be a Medicaid provider. Open up your own home health agencies. Hire the Hebrew Israelite women to run the Hebrew Israelite home health agencies and shut it down on Friday and Saturday night. If you're the boss, you set the rules. It's simple as that. We still live in a country where we can still establish our own small businesses, small level mom and pop, individual businesses, mid-level company businesses. What we're trying to say is, if you're out there working already and you're already on the economy working for somebody else and you're getting a check from somebody else, you can start your own company. And if you're not an entrepreneur, then let us know, because we can set up those people who are entrepreneurs and show them how to get set up and show them how to get set up for Medicaid, and then hire your people that can be able to handle that. We should have our own hospice agencies. that are Medicaid certified to be able to go into the hospital and say, what is his ethnic identity? Oh, he a Hebrew Israelite. The hospital should have a list of our agencies already in there to say, let me call this people because they're Hebrew Israelites, they're a Hebrew Israelite community, and let them come into the hospital and support him. And you still get paid by Medicaid. It's just a matter of having the right credentials.
That is
correct. That's all it is.
That is correct.
It's not my, guess what, my son graduated, he's about to graduate from college. He's been in sports his whole life. I've already asked him and a bunch of his buddies to get together and start a basketball league for our Hebrew Israelite sons, our children, so that our kids will have something to do. Well, guess what, we won't play on Fridays and Saturdays. We can set up our own days where we play. It doesn't mean we can't do it. It's just people don't know how to do it, so they don't do anything at all. And that's the purpose of the Nation of Yehuda. Come, let us show you how to do it. It can be done.
That is correct.
I know that's right.
Absolutely.
And I agree wholeheartedly.
And then instead of you getting the check, that's what you're writing the checks.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Oh, yeah.
That's all me and Brother Adonia has been trying to say for the last year and a half. We have educated people, intelligent people in our culture, people that have lived and worked in this society, have gone to the schools and received the education. They have the know-hows and the what to do, but they get comfortable working for the other person and complaining about our condition. And we can change that. Only person can change that is us. And until America states we can no longer be entrepreneurs and work for ourselves, then we are free to do those things and make. That's how you build a nation.
Mm-hmm. You know, you are absolutely correct. You understand? And I couldn't have not said it better. You understand? If we start putting things in place, you understand? We ain't got to worry about what them on the. Those other folks at all. All we have to do is start putting things in place, and we observe the Shabbat, the Sabbath day, you understand? And we don't work on the Sabbath day, that will be established as we start promoting ourselves and putting things in place. You know, one thing that, I wanted to try to say also is that we as the Nation of Yehuda, we need to start getting together a treasury so people that have the spirit to be an entrepreneur, we can sponsor them until they become self-sustaining.
I agree.
That's why I said that. That's why I said that they need to send $5. $5 gets us started. You understand? Mm-hmm. $5 from everybody on this line here. If we got 600 people on this line, you do the math, you understand? And each month they send $5. That's fine. That would get somebody started in their entrepreneurship, you understand? And the only thing that we ask is that when you get started, bring your tithes up. Right now, tithes is money. Hello? You understand?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening.
But this thing right here is not going to work overnight. You understand? It's going to, the Almighty is setting us up and putting us in place here. You understand? Why? Because the Almighty said he wants the glory from the whole earth. All the nations under the sun is going to know that he is the true and living Yah. You understand? So when he puts us in place and we do what the will of the Almighty, you understand, he gonna show favor. You know what his favor is, what he said? He said he was going to bring us back to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's significant. You understand? That is, and guess what? He's making it happen. He's getting them folks up out of there. Them people that stole our identity. Those are the first identity thieves. Almighty is powerful beyond compare. I'm telling you that right now. There ain't nobody else. Go ahead, Tumtree.
No, I just wanted to, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. I apologize.
I'm through. I'm through.
Okay,
go ahead.
Sure, I apologize. I got excited. I just wanted to ask her a question.
Oh, I understand.
Do you work, sis, on the economy? You have a job? Do you work every day?
You know, my sister, I have been working for the man for 45-plus years, and don't tell nobody that because I tell everybody I'm 39. On last year, I decided to.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, and honestly, I want you to know. When you got hired on whatever job it was you worked on, did you go through the lunchroom and the employees and ask them whether they were Christians or Muslims or Hebrews or anything like that?
No.
When you took your orientation, did everybody have on a badge and said, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Pentecostal?
No.
They had a name tag on, right?
Name?
They had a name tag on. All we're saying is that's what we're saying. The Nation of Yehuda, we don't ask those questions. All we want you to do is have a name tag on. We have a job to do. We're rolling up our sleeves. We build in the nation. You can be Torah. You can be Messianic. You can be whatever you're going to be. Our requirement is to be a nation. That's all he said. Gather thyself together, O nation, thy desire. And one of the young ladies came on the week before last and asked a question. And I asked her a question. I said, when have we ever been on one accord? Were we on one accord? Because we marched into Egypt as 70 people. And then we came out as a nation. When we were at the base of Mount Sinai, were we on one accord then? I mean, were we all believing the same thing?
Nope. Not at all.
No. When we came out of Babylon after that captivity, did we all believe in the same thing?
Not at all.
Nope. When Solomon was the king of Israel, were we all on one accord then?
No, man.
Not at all.
We've never been on one accord. The Most High knows it. That's why he gave us the test. We failed the test. So whomever is out there that's listening under the sound of my voice, and you hell-bent on us all believing the same thing and moving in the same direction, it didn't happen then, and it's not going to happen now. He said, come together as a nation and build as a nation and grow together as a nation. And beliefs are something that everybody's entitled to, so we don't get caught up in that. If you're willing to roll your sleeves up and work, we need all the help we can get.
I hear you, sister. And that's about nation time. You know, actually, I stopped working last year because I really wanted to dedicate. The Most High kind of sent me on this on a journey. I've been on this journey all in the wilderness, but the faith has been strong. You know, I decided to walk away from my job, so I'm here right now. I'm so here. I'm so ready, if you understand the timing of what I'm hearing you say. Been feeling this, knowing this, believing and committed myself to this for so long now, so to hear it come into my ear right now is a confirmation from the Creator through your voices, and I thank Him for that. I thank you all for having that understanding, because it is a wisdom and a knowledge and an understanding that you don't always have to be exactly saying this. Everybody's not going to walk the same way. You know, we can't even get that peace in our own families at times. You know, So, you know, much more for a nation. Okay, we are 12 tribes, children of 12 men, one man, you know. And sure, we're going to have our differences, but as a nation coming forward, being ready, being prepared, having that willing heart, that commitment, that blessing, representing the Most High in truth and in righteousness. Wow,
yes.
we can't even fail, you know. It's a glorious
right.
time. It's a magnificent
yes, it is.
Time for Israel.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You know,
you said
the magic word, having the willing heart. The Almighty can work with that.
Yeah.
You understand?
Brother,
if you got
Donnie,
the willingness.
Let me stop you real quick. You have 90 seconds. If you're in the chat line, if you still want to listen, we asking you to call in, because at 90 seconds you will not be able to call in. You will be cut off. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
If you have the willing heart, the Almighty can work with that. You understand? And see, a lot of us, man, you know, if we come and start trying to build this nation, the Almighty will reveal things to you. Because you had the willing heart, the willingness to get up and try to do something about our nation. I'm sick to death of the position that we in all over the world. We on the battle. You understand? No matter what. You know what? What's his name? Dr. Claude Anderson. He said that in 1917, we had nine people in the government, you understand, and they were supposed to be working in our behalf, the slaves' behalf. Now we have, in 2014, we have 1,000 plus, almost 2,000 people in government working in our behalf, and we ain't went nowhere. We haven't accomplished anything, not one thing. You understand? So here, I say that to say this. Those people were in place to sustain our living only. They could never do anything or make anything happen. They just, the Almighty said that Jacob shall be saved. So those people had to be put in place to keep us here. Now the ball is in our park. The Hebrew Israelites that understand and know and have been reading that scripture, it's in our park now. We got to do something for ourselves. If we do nothing, you understand, we remain stagnant and we perish. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Again, let me make an announcement for you all who want to help us. Our email address is the Yehuda Project, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H. UDAH project at gmail.com. The Yehuda Project at gmail.com. Email us. You know, we have plenty of positions available. We're doing things and building, and we're going to go to area code 312. Go ahead, you're on the air. Area code 312.
You knew I was about to call in. I had a little bit of just what you said as far as our people in the unity that we've been able to display. There is one time in history where, even according to scripture, that the Hebrew people were together as one people, and they were following one direction, and they made progress, and that only happened one time. But I think that's the important. That was at the reign of King David. He was the only king in Israel's history who brought all 12 tribes together. The only time it happened. After him, it split under Solomon.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
we understand the split. We're not talking about the split. We understand the split that was made, and we coming together as a nation of people under King David. But even then, in his reign, there were still those who were worshiping other deities. Even when King David was in charge, there were those among us that was worshiping other deities, is what I'm saying, is that we have always had, some of us have had different beliefs.
Okay.
You're talking about the beliefs.
No, I think you should clarify that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on, don't everybody talk at the same time, please.
Like whatever the unity was, whether there were disagreements in there or not, it was a unity that was recognized as harmonious by the divine, by the Most High, because that is why the emphasis is put on the significance of that position of the House of David and the significance of the necessity of the House of David returning because of that and because of that expectation of our people finally being regathered together. That's why I said, whether you're Messianic or Torah, if you are Messianic, the passage you talked about when the Messiah returns, whatnot, he will go up as a banner that the nations will rally to and that the people will rally to, and that's almost like a foreshadowing of what David did. So there is a unity that can be reached, but I think we have to understand that even in rebuilding Israel, like you can't almost. I don't know. There's so much that goes into it because it's Israel. You have the political aspect that goes into it. You have the economic aspect. But the spirituality portion of it makes up about 70% of what this nation is, because this is a nation that was built by God. A lot of what tied the people together were the spiritual beliefs and the spiritual beliefs that will push them towards the Most High rather than away from the Most High. So there has to be some kind of uniformity, not to say that with everybody going to agree, but in rebuilding the nation, like, there should always be talk of the prophets should agree with one another. I totally believe the people who are overseeing the nation and that are who are expected to hear the direction of the Most High, because we can't exclude the Most High from the whole thing, and he has to be, like, that reception has to be on in real time. That can't be, oh, God said this 500 years ago, and this is the prophecy come, but what is God saying today? What's God saying as far as the direction for the people? Because the prophets should still be hearing from God.
We agree. I agree with you 100%. And the one thing that we do have in common that we can all agree on is that Yah is the divine. He is in all, of all, and the all. So we all do have that one common thread that we believe that Yah is the supreme being of it all. So, I mean, you know, we do have those things that are common. But in the midst of it all, we have so many things that divide us. And what we're saying is don't let the things that divide us stop us from coming together and provide resources for us as a people. That's all we're trying to say.
Hallelujah. And if I might chime in, I want to say that if we don't do nothing, we're going to perish. More and more of our children are going to go by the wayside. So we need to try to set up things. Now, the Almighty has given, will inspire, is supposed to inspire us to do whatever is necessary for us to do. You understand? True enough that he has always, when we was in a calamity situation in certain situations, he rose up somebody from amongst us to bring us out.
Yes.
Whether it was a prophet or just a cupbearer. You understand? He rose somebody up and to speak in our behalf, to give, to inspire us to do certain things. I say, we should not have to sit on our keisters and wait for nobody.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And the thing that we're saying is the brother is absolutely right. As it pertains to King David, you know, we were all unified under the royal house of King Dawid. That's why it is surfacing again today. That is the purpose why he is bringing it out today, because he's using the same method. And one thing he says is, I'm Yah, I change not. So he's using the same method, the royal house of King Dawid, to bring forth the nation of Yehuda so that we can prepare our people for the pilgrimage back to the Holy Land. And this is what this is all about. But when, as it pertains to belief, when you're on a job, is what we were trying to say, as you walk into another employer's office, nobody sits down and goes through the roster to see who believes what. Everybody's there to do a specific job. Our job is to build a nation, and then we go to the Holy Land. Our job is to go back home. The Most High said he is going to plead with us face to face. That is his job to attack or to adjust our belief system so that we're ready to be one person. But that's down the road. Right now, we just got to get the people to understand that we can provide resources for ourselves.
That is correct. We're going to sit back and keep letting our children go by the wayside and don't do nothing. I think that's a travesty.
It is. But you know what we're saying?
What it is to me, you understand, that is ungodly. You understand?
Yes, it is.
You know, if we don't do nothing, you understand? My brother, you know, I used to have a saying said, if we don't do nothing, won't nothing happen. My brother said, something does happen. Decay.
That's right, decay, exactly. And that is where we are. We are so used to being codependent. We are so used to being the person that gets the paycheck that none of us realize we can be the person that writes the paychecks. That's all we're saying. The opportunity hasn't dried up. It's still there. The educational system is still there providing degrees and know-how and how to function in this society. It's all still there. So instead of getting a paycheck, write the paycheck. Hire some of our people. You will still, if the Hebrews know that we have a nationwide hospice center or a nationwide hospice organization, because it's too big for one organization to handle this whole nation, and we're not trying to be a conglomerate where we control it all. It should be all around the country. Country, that you can go into different places and say, okay, my mom is dying, she has cancer, we need a hospice organization, we want to call someone that's in the California area, in the San Diego area. We should have a database as many nurses as we have among our people, well, we can push down a phone number and call your organization and say, we need you to go over to such and such a hospital. There's a Hebrew Israelite that's dying of cancer, and we need you to take care of her until she expires out of here. There should be a funeral system set in mind where we can call a moray or a kohen from California, San Diego area to say, go officiate the service. We have none of those things at our disposal. None of them.
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. That we have to work towards getting those things in place. The next time that they have a Katrina, we need to be able to go up and bring something to the table instead of sitting back and saying, "Oh, that's a shame." That's what we do.
Yeah.
We sit back and say, "Oh, that's a shame." You understand? And we ain't lift a finger to help them do nothing. Come on, man. You understand? I just don't. You know, my whole understanding here. You understand, is that if we don't do nothing, we're going to perish. And
exactly.
That it's going to be natural hell for the next generation to try to get out of that concentration camp so that they can practice the law. And that's all,
exactly.
You know what, during Moses' time, Moses told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go so that we may go and practice and praise our Creator. That's what we need to do today. And one other thing
exactly.
here, too, is that the curse, the Almighty said he will raise the curse right before our eyes. And that's what's happening right now. We're not being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered. So one thing that I know is that our destiny is in our hand.
Our own hand. And we don't even see it. Our destiny, because we've been so blinded. And we've been so afraid that we don't even see it. But the beautiful part about it now is we're beginning to wake up. We're beginning to understand. They took his tassels off of his body when he got sick. He wasn't even able to wear those because nobody knew the significance of it. Nobody knew the significance of the wearing of the beard. No one knew the significance of wearing clothing that didn't have mixed fabric. So he was just thrown in there among everyone else. And everything he lived, his whole life was wasted while he was living. When he was dying, it went to naught because nobody cared to make sure that it was done. And then once he expired, that wasn't even honorable. And we have to make sure that our people realize we have work to do. There are more serious things to start concentrating on and focusing on other than having debates on POW talk and having debates on conference calls and cussing each other out on conference calls, because these are the things that happen. You're going to be born and you are going to die. And in the middle of that, there should be a procedure set up where the people of America know that the Hebrew Israelite is a category that should be set on every form, on every hospital form, on every funeral form. It should be on the census. It should be everywhere, because we are a nation of people in America, and we should have a right to be identified as who we are. And that is all we've been saying all day. And you know what? We're going to do this. We're doing this right now as we speak. We've shared a little bit about Nuggets with you tonight to let you know some of the things that we're doing, because it's bigger than us. That we have a whole country full of Hebrew Israelites, Rastafarians, all of them. We need to set up something so that we can take care of our own people and be able to manage our own people. And on that note, Brother Donia, do you have any last remarks?
My last remark is that it is nation-building time, and we need to start moving as a nation. You understand? We need to come together. Now, the nation of Yehuda, you understand, is set up to accept people that are willing, with the willing heart. So we need to try to do that. We need to try to build ourselves. And and one other thing here, send $5. $5. That's saying, you know, get with somebody else and make it 10 so that it won't they won't take no taxes out of it. You know what I'm saying? And send that $5 in. You understand? Believe me, I don't need the $5. I don't need to be set up, you know, like that. But I want my nation to start moving. You understand? And we need a little money so that we could put together some entrepreneur. A lady will call up and say, listen, I make garments. You understand? I just need to, she bring us her proposal. And if it look good, you understand, we need to be able to sponsor that.
That's right. Right.
Hallelujah.
So then I got a question for you. What time is it, Brother Adonia?
Nation building time. Hallelujah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom. Also, we want to give honor to Asa Melchizedek Ben Israel. May you rest in peace. What you did in life will be honored in this life, and we're going to carry it on in your honor, in your name. We appreciate the commitment that you made and the example that you led. And also to Bobby Womack, he died this week, and we're going to play some music. And all of those that are on the board of the Nation of Yehuda, we are definitely going to have a meeting, a real short meeting tonight at 6:30, and we want everybody to be there. For you all who want to join the movement and get involved and are ready to roll up your sleeves and bring your time, your talent, and your treasure, email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. And Yehuda is spelled Yehudah, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. And someone will contact you, and we're moving ahead. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
Shalom, shalom.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer that if you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toil and strife. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees. Have you ever thought you were trying to get close to me? Yeah. Think it over. Think it over, girl. And if I'm getting weak, but you know, I don't mind.
That's the way I feel about you.
Ooh,
that's the way I feel about you.
I know you've been hurt, and so have many others too. But that's a sacrifice that life put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't know, but God might have sent me here. Yeah. Think it over. Think it over. You better think it over.
That's the way I feel about you.
situation, girl. Dig a little bit deeper. That's the way I feel about you, yeah. Oh, that's the way,
that's the way feel about I feel you. About you.
Alright, shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Yaina Yisrael. The show was wonderful. Like I said, hats off. We appreciate our tributes to Asa Melchizedek Ben Israel. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your death, because in death, you touched us as a nation, and we're going to move forward so that we can make sure that what happened to you won't happen to anybody else again. Thank you so much for joining our show, everyone. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, and let's build a nation. Let's make this happen. Shalom, shalom, everybody. See you later.